We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rick Camp is in for Chris Tannehill. Take it away, Campy.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
Les, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day, it was myself and Lawrence Holmes were alternating producing your show, and I really, really, really wanted the job.
No problem if you clean his garage first. Or wash his windows, maybe.
Wash windows?
You asked me one day, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, got nothing going on. And your response was, great, you can come help me move.
And you didn't see that coming, did you, old sport?
Two-day move, two-parter with all the media guides like you would expect that Les would have and everything else. I mean, we had dinner.
Dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish.
I brought in another friend because there was too much stuff.
Upstairs, gentlemen, third floor, back bedroom. Sash installation. And then if you can give the windows a wash, thank you.
I gave full effort that weekend, Parker.
You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkins Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thank you so much for hanging out on a Friday with the Danny Parkins Show. Mark Carmen in. Campy, was that you or was that Tanny? Because there were a lot of Tanny elements in that open.
No, that was me. I tried to channel my inner Tanny there. So yeah. I made sure to get got the wire because I couldn't think of a Sopranos clip that worked, and I got Goodfellas in there.
I was going to say, damn, that was like good imposter syndrome right there. It just hit in all the right notes. And I didn't pass this along in yesterday's show because just by the time I had seen Tanny post it, it was just too late in the show and I wasn't able to do it. I didn't want to rush through it. Anyone out there in the Danny Parkins Show, afternoon show, Score Mob universe, I just want to read this from Tanny, why he's been out all week and he'll be out a few days next week. So just give me a second here, Carm. Tanny posted, yesterday morning, we lost my mother-in-law after a 15-year-long battle with Alzheimer's. Seeing what this horrendous disease does to not only the inflicted, but the toll it takes on their loved ones is something I pray no one else has to endure. I've decided to take time off to be with my family as my wife, who has been carrying the load of this immense emotional burden, tries to pick up the pieces for our family. I'm overwhelmed by the outpouring of kindness from my past and present 670 The Score family, the crew on the Danny Parkins Show, and Mitch Rosen. Their understanding and kindness has brought me great comfort in a time of unbelievable grief. 2020 has been tough for many people, and I have been luckier than most. However, because of COVID, my wife could only see her dying mother a handful of times in 7 months. My daughter saw her Wita just once, and it was during her final days. Please wear your mask and practice social distancing so we can get out of this situation as soon as possible. I hope to be back on the show next week, and I look forward to being back with my radio family and interacting with you guys again. Life is short. Be kind to each other. If you love someone, tell them. End Alzheimer's. That's from Chris Tannehill, who anyone who's listened to The Score knows is by far the most talented person at our radio station. He also happens to be probably the best person who works at our radio station. So, Tanny, from all of us, buddy, we're thinking of you and your family.
What a really well-written post, too. Wow.
Yeah, he's the goods, man. He's the goods. He's, I'm telling you, when he writes, he writes strong. Like he wrote for our website, the Irishman. He wrote a review of it. Fantastic. He's really branched out on this show as an on-air contributor. He never really had an open mic on afternoon shows in the past, and now he's crushing it as a host of a podcast and on-air. Like, the dude is, I don't say it as, like, a superfluous thing to just be nice. I genuinely mean it. He is the most talented person at the radio station. So we're all thinking of Tanny, and he should be back. We're hoping that he'll be back middle of next week, but obviously he can take as much time as he needs. But with without further ado, Mark Carman, my friend, you always put me in a good mood. Again, thank you for the birthday treats yesterday. It was good to see you. I'm probably going to crack in some of that bourbon over the course of this weekend. So thank you again, my friend, for being here.
You are welcome, Parco. Good to thank you for having me. Hope you had a great night last night with the wife. I hope you saw Daniel Jones running down the football field at some point, because that was amazing. And looking forward to today. I know we got a ton of fun stuff to do here. And I'm looking forward to Bears Sunday off. A little enjoy the NFL, a little no-pressure Bears Sunday. And we'll see what happens on Monday night.
That's exactly right. So I don't want to do a ton of Bears-Rams today, but I do. And for last night, by the way, yes, it was amazing. Steph took me out to dinner. We spent way too much money on a meal, but you never get to go out anymore. And it was beautiful weather last night, so it was just incredible.
Was that an outdoor or an indoor?
It was outdoors. Outdoors. Uh-huh. Man, during the day, it was like 40-something degrees and raining. By the time we sat down at dinner, it was 68 degrees with no breeze. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was walking home last night. I had no plans. I was going to go watch the game. Like, maybe I could just go crash Parco's birthday dinner. It's so nice out here. This is really just a beautiful thing. I know he'd want to see me more. So, but I didn't do it, pal. I
love you, but I not that much. That was a nice night, a date night for the wife and I, and it was much needed and much appreciated. And it was a great night out in the city. So you mentioned the NFL weekend and how we have Bearslessness. No one likes homework, so feel free to dismiss this. But I have a request slash homework assignment for Bears fans, Carm. I looked at the broadcast map for like what games we're going to be getting over the course of Sunday. So you don't need Sunday Ticket. You don't need Red Zone. Like, just if you have television and you were watching the NFL, these are the games you get this Sunday here in Chicago, all right?
I like that you're here for the common people, Parco, not the person who's got six TVs in the red zone and every other thing available. That's right, just for the regular dude at home who wants to turn on Fox, I got you. I like it.
That's what I'm saying. Just because sometimes I think some of the feedback we get around the rest of the NFL, they be like, oh, yeah, not everybody is watching every game all the time. I understand. So these are the games we get. Packers-Texans, Rodgers against Deshaun, Steelers-Titans, two 5-0 teams, Chiefs-Broncos, Chiefs maybe the best team in the NFL, and those are your day games. And then the night game is Seattle and Arizona. Seattle undefeated, Arizona real shot at a playoff seed in probably the second toughest division in football, the NFC West. So among those teams, Seattle, Arizona, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Kansas City, those are all teams that on any power ranking that you look at are going to be above the Bears. Maybe not Arizona on everyone, but Seattle, Kansas City, Tennessee, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh, DVOA, Sports Illustrated, Pro Football Talk, ESPN, they're above the Bears on all of them. My hope and ask and request for Bears fans, watch the games with as critical of an eye on those teams as you have on your own, and you'll notice all those teams have flaws just like the Bears, and maybe it'll make you feel a little bit better about your squad.
I like it. Listen, I'm having my eyes on Green Bay, Parco. You're talking about a Packers team that was up 10-0 last week and just got blasted, and now to me it's all up in the air. Is Green Bay the 13-3 Packers of last year, or are they eminently gettable? They don't get to the quarterback. Deshaun Watson could have a huge day. Who are their receivers? They're lacking. I don't know if you really feel. I don't feel like Green Bay is a mountain the Bears can't climb, and I think they could have a big time trouble with the Texans here. To me the North right now is a total coin flip between the two.
I agree that it's wide open. I mean, listen, Davante Adams has been hurt, and with Davante Adams back in his three games, he's got 30 targets. He's an absolute stud as a number one, right?
And then,
so, you know, right, exactly. And then it gets tricky. Like, you know, depending on what you think of Valdez Scantling, and then there's obviously like Aaron Jones has looked really good this year, but that's a running back. So to your point, yeah, there are questions about Green Bay. I think most of Green Bay's questions are on defense more than offense because they have Aaron Rodgers. Like, you can run on that team. Tampa just abused them physically, like dominated at the line of scrimmage and really got to Rodgers. And I think that, and then they ran all over him like they did, like the Niners did in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay last year. So I think that Green Bay is gettable. They're not a dominant team, but that's certainly what you're talking about is a specific thing for the Bears, and that's probably the one that most Bears fans will look to, and that's the team that the Bears have to play. So what you're talking about makes sense. But all I'm saying is, man, I get Seahawks fans are fans of a 5-0 team with maybe the MVP favorite at quarterback in Russell Wilson. They've got huge flaws, right? Pittsburgh.
Seattle can't stop anybody. Keep going.
Yeah, Seattle can't stop anybody. Pittsburgh, with the Devin Bush injury, they're going to have questions about where their pass rush is going to come from. I still think that they're arguably the most talented defense in the NFL, but they got questions there.
Derrick Henry has a huge day. Good, keep going. Yep.
Yeah, Tennessee. Listen, Tennessee is really good, and Ryan Tannehill's playing like a top five quarterback in the NFL, and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry are great players. Do they have enough in their secondary where you're really confident that Ryan Tannehill's winning a shootout? We saw what happened in the AFC Championship game last year. That's a legitimate question about Tennessee. Arizona has been super hot and cold this year. Sometimes Kyler Murray looks like he's Mike Vick and Madden. Sometimes he looks like he's a junior college kid, just like a small dude out there playing football for fun in the Arena League. Like, this is a wide open league right now. And the last point on it, for me anyway, Tampa, if you go by DVOA, which for anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's Football Outsiders. Think of it like war for baseball players. It's rankings for teams. They factor in offense, defense, special teams, who you've played, who you're going to play going forward. It's like an all-encompassing, analytically-based metric to rank teams. Their number one ranked DVOA team, Tampa Bay. 4-2, who the Bears beat.
And it's because, at least the way I'm understanding it, they are the most balanced team, both on offense and obviously on the defensive side of the ball, which we're focusing on here right now. But then you look at, so like that to me is exciting, right? Tampa Bay's number one. Who beat Tampa
exactly.
Bay? I believe it was the Bears. So the negativity around the team right now, and maybe we'll learn something this weekend to what you're laying out here, Parko, and maybe people will pay a little attention outside of Chicago. But I think there's like already overwhelming evidence that why would you be so negative on a team that has nowhere to go but up on offense and has one of the premier weapons in the NFL in the Bears defense. I understand that Parko is that value is not as having a great quarterback, but it's still going to have some big time value, I would think, as the season plays out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, cold weather, what their defense is, Robert Quinn hopefully getting better over the course of the season. He started slow. They're healthy on the defensive side of the ball, which is huge, right? Their injuries have been Tariq Cohen and James Daniels, so they are healthy on defense. I obviously am skeptical and have questions and have high standards for what this offense can and should be eventually, but the NFL is wide open this year. Wide open. And if you have an opportunity to watch some of the best teams in the NFL this weekend, and it should come across fairly clearly that there are no teams that are totally insurmountable for the Bears.
Well, let me throw one Football Outsider stat at you, Parko. They've got the Bears offensive line 13th in run blocking. Does that do anything for you? Does that excite you? Give me a
That surprises me. That surprises me, and that feels like maybe small sample size, right? Like they had a pretty good game against the Giants. That was the game where David Montgomery had 14 carries for 80-something yards. They played pretty well against the Lions run blocking. Like, I felt like they started well run blocking, and then with the James Daniels news and then playing better teams, they've gotten worse. So that number does surprise me. I would have guessed in the 20s.
Which is what I'm saying. Like, if you just look at analytics, right, there's an eye test there. Like, the Bears' offensive line, there's no way they're in the top half of the NFL in run blocking. That's
correct.
But that's what the stats tell you. So if we want to, you know, at least parse the stats down a little bit here and not put everything on there, I'm not saying you're doing that. Let me be clear. But that, I think when you look just at the numbers, let's have some eye test in there too. Old school.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Tampa, the reason why they're number one in that ranking is also because of who they've played. I mean, they just destroyed Green Bay, who was undefeated, right? They've played the Saints. They had a marquee schedule. Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. They front loaded it. They've played good teams and they've held their own. They had a week one loss and then a national TV loss to the Bears on short rest. Like, Tampa's an impressive team.
And then if you're looking around the NFL, like, oh, the Steelers, and that's a well balanced team, but who have they played? No one. Giants, Broncos, Texans, Eagles, Browns, right? So
yep.
I mean,
yeah, listen, I'm with you here. I'm not sitting here today telling you that the Bears are a Super Bowl team. Their DVOA ranking overall is 14th, so middle of the pack. The Bears have clearly exceeded expectations, both eye test-wise and ranking-wise, right? When three of your wins have double-digit deficit comebacks, like, clearly you are exceeding your performance with your win-loss record. But my point is, while we all know the Bears are flawed, and we frankly spend more time talking about what they aren't as opposed to what they are, watch the rest of these teams with the same criticism. And Packer fans are worried about that defense, right? Steelers fans are worried about that pass rush. Chiefs fans are worried about that offensive line. Like, there are real – now, they had a dominant run game the other night, but Mitchell Schwartz is injured, and they've had to shuffle some pieces around on that offensive line. Pat Mahomes has taken more hits this year than he did through six weeks last season. So, like, there are things that the teams that you would say, oh, man, they're way better than the Bears, there are things that those fan bases are worried about too.
So let me throw one little wrinkle in here that I think is of at least of concern to me.
Okay.
Would you agree that the Bears developing their players the rest of the way, however much they can do it, is going to be essential in them having the max amount of success this year? Getting Nick Foles to the next possible level that he can get to. Same thing with David Montgomery. Same thing with Cole Kmet. The reason why I'm focused.
Yeah, so probably. I mean, they have to have self-improvement on offense and health, because they don't have a ton of margin for error.
Right. And so does it bother you at all when you look at the Rams game coming up that Leonard Floyd is seemingly playing better in L.A., or if we look down at Miami that Adam Shaheen is seemingly better as a Dolphin? Like, I think it's an actual question now. Is Mitch Trubisky going to turn into Mitch Tannehill and elsewhere? I'm not saying that he is, but I think, like, all of this is on the table right now. Can you actually develop your guys and make them better along the way? Because I don't think they're good enough right now, but I do think there is potential that they could get there, and that, to me, is a huge part, along with the play calling, for the Bears to actually lean into that, get where they can get, and that's what they're talking about, right? We know this, we know that. Matt Nagy's so excited about it. That's what's going to have to happen. I'm glad you know everything, but let's see if you can actually develop them.
I think it's a great point, actually. That is a great point and a very legitimate question. This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Shep wants to jump in. We're going to step aside. I want to keep that going, though. Like, the idea of, do you actually believe that they can develop this talent? That's a fair question for the Bears, because they need to as they try to catch some of these other teams, while we also acknowledge those other teams, they got flaws too. It's the Danny Parkin Show with Mark Carmen in on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, I mean, each team's different. It's really just finding out who you want to be and what personalities you want to live in. And that's really what we're in the process now is figuring out what we want to live in, who we want to be. And we're figuring it out. It's not like we're starting from ground zero. We're figuring it out. And the good thing is we found ways to win games. So we'll just continue to go through this one day at a time and figure out who we want to be. And once again, each team that I've been on has been different, though. It's just, who will the Chicago Bears offense identity be?
Foles on whatever the Bears' offensive identity is or isn't. Mark Carmen in on the Danny Parkin show. And, Carm, you brought up an interesting point. Like, if development, which, I mean, I don't mean to sound surprised. You've brought them up before. I'm sure you will again.
I didn't hear any surprise in your voice at all, Parko. I thought you were just acknowledging, like, for the 100th time, again, Carm, with an amazing point. Continue.
Oh, you thought that I was like, it was like getting redundant. Like, there have just been so many great points that I'm right. Getting bored with your great points. Right. No. There was surprise. There was surprise.
No, I got it. Thank you.
For first hour of the third show, though, I mean, good job by you.
Oh, thank you. I don't want to hit too early, Parko.
No, of course not. But the idea of, all right, if the key is going to be player development, are there examples that you can point to of successful player development under Matt Nagy in order to believe in that, right? That's basically what you're driving at.
Yeah, I'd love you. Can you name one? Because I can't.
On offense?
Anywhere. I'm not giving him credit for Kyle Fuller. Listen, let's just stick to offense. Let's make it simple.
Okay.
You could maybe say...
It's not, right, I mean...
You can say Jordan Howard. He hasn't been as good elsewhere as he was here, I suppose.
There's short shelf lives on running backs, and here's the thing: like Shaheen has a couple of touchdowns for Miami, but it's not like he's getting 7, 8, 10 targets a game, catching 5, 6 passes for 70, 80 yards. He's caught in some 1, 2 yard touchdown routes, right? He's not breaking out as a tight end.
He's averaging more yards per catch, albeit very small sample size, than he ever has in his career. The last time he was ever close to this level of production early in the season was the year that he was a rookie, which was the year before Matt Nagy got here. Whatever talent that Adam Shaheen had, I'm not saying it was over the top, but whatever he had, they were a complete failure at developing him. That can't be argued.
I'm just not worried about Adam Shaheen becoming a star elsewhere. Shep, jump in here for a second.
Well, I just, on the Shaheen point, he has one big play this year. He has a 43-yard reception. He has 2 touchdowns. He has 58 total yards on the year. So it's like, I mean, I know it's the old Wani thing. Oh, you eliminate the one big play, and they didn't run the ball that well all day.
Right.
Well, like, yeah, Dave, but you can't eliminate the 80-yard run that your team gave up either. But it's 43 of those 58 yards are on one play. He's got 4 receptions besides that for 15 yards on the season. He has 2 touchdowns. One of them's against the Jets, so that doesn't count for anything. I mean, we're eliminating that. I think we all agree. Like, it's okay. All right, he's doing something. He's okay. A little bit better than he was with the Bears. I don't know if I'd call it a success story as a Miami Dolphin.
I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame, clearly, but I do think it's at least out there that there's the question there. I think the way it started with Cole Kmet is a little bit bizarre. How many this was supposed to be the guy. He's not. Maybe it takes a little bit of time for a tight end to get acclimated. That's the standard play in the NFL. I get it. But I do wonder, like, where, how quick. All we heard about Cole Kmet was that he's amazing, smart, picking everything up, and it just seems like it's a little bit of a slow
run. He had the touchdown reception last week. Olin thinks that, based on looking at the film, he should be the starter, so he thinks that he is progressing. I'm certainly not writing off Cole Kmet, but even if you don't look at guys elsewhere, there's just enough of an argument with guys here. Has David Montgomery gotten better? Has Anthony Miller gotten better? Has Tariq Cohen peaked early and then hasn't been as good as he was in 2018, obviously now injured. So Mitch Trubisky, right, did not get better. He regressed. So that there are enough examples here where we don't necessarily need to look to guys going elsewhere and having any degree of success or whatever, because no one's crushing it. Right, it's not like Josh Bellamy left the Bears and all of a sudden is catching 1,100 receiving yards in a season or something.
Do you think that when Nick Foles is at home at night talking to his close friends, he's telling people how great the Bears are run and how well the offense is constructed and how he's completely confident that they can bring everything around him to an incredible level, they can reach their peak? Do you think he's ever said anything close to that?
I mean, he's a pretty delusionally positive dude, man of faith. So, like, Nick Foles might not be your best argument. Like would Cordarrelle Patterson say that, right? Like,
okay.
Would Tariq Cohen say that? Like Nick Foles does strike me as a guy who's, like, he's just always positive about everything. Like, he stubs his toe, he drops his phone in the toilet, and he's like, man, that was just the plan. It was just how it was supposed to be that day. So I don't know that he's your best argument there.
Okay, let me ask you this one. Let me ask you, what do you think Jimmy Graham is saying after spending time in New Orleans, after being even up a miserable year in Green Bay? Third play of the game last week, he's on the field, he's off the field. He's on the field, he's off the field, and now you're in the red zone, and all of a sudden Cole Kmet's catching a touchdown pass, which was sweet, and Jimmy Graham celebrated it. But you telling me that guy's going around thinking, you know, these guys are really on top of it?
No, probably not. Probably not. Do I think by the end of the year the offense will be better? I do. Like, you could call that blind optimism if you want. I honestly think, I mean, even against Carolina, where they were not as good offensively as I wanted them to be, they were not nearly as bad as some people were making it out like they were. They had, what, 4 scoring drives of 8 plays or more? They moved the ball. They had some degree of – now, it was dinking and dunking. It was horizontal. But, I mean, they did move the football and move the chains multiple times on multiple drives and won the football game.
All true. 10 play drives, multiple 10 play drives, true. And then they had an amazing plane ride home, Parco. I mean, it was sweet.
Keep talking about the plane.
I mean, Kyle Fuller was sitting right behind the head coach. They were talking. Other guys were reading. Some guys were watching extra film. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know. Just ask Matt Nagy. It was the greatest plane ride of all time. Look, I hear you.
Has Anthony Miller gotten better? How's Anthony Miller doing?
No, Anthony Miller is probably the best example to your point. I would say he is the, because Allen Robinson has just been consistently great. Riley Ridley, Javon Wims basically can't get on the field. Cole Kmet, too early to tell. David Montgomery. You like David Montgomery.
I do.
I don't dislike David Montgomery. I just feel like the only reason we really talk about David Montgomery is because we are like, hey, he should be good. He's a running back who's here, who was drafted, as opposed to Snell or Patterson or Tariq Cohen that are either not running backs or gadget players.
Traded up for, too.
Yeah, traded up for. Third round, right? Yeah.
I just like David Montgomery because I never thought they really used Tariq Cohen well. Like, they never put him in the slot. They would try to run him between the tackles, and it was always like, obviously, oh, here comes Tariq Cohen. Whereas Montgomery, oh, he actually looks like he can catch the ball out of the backfield and do it well. Like, he's catching balls that are not thrown to him. It makes the catch and making a move at the same time, eluding tacklers. Then he's hard to bring down. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowl running back, but I like seeing him out there more.
Hey, Carmen, Danny, I've got a question about Judaism.
Sure.
Why?
That seems on topic.
Why do the only the Jewish people call Tariq Cohen Cohen while everybody else calls him Cohen? Is that a Jewish pronunciation of Cohen? Yeah, I think so.
Is it Cohen?
I think phonetically it would be Cohen, but like it all the Jewish guys that we have hosts on the station say Cohn.
That's interesting.
It's a legit question. I'm not just trying to overthrow your show here with some garbage. I'm asking you a legit question.
My guy from Adam Lefko from Bleacher Report did the bar mitzvah with Tariq Cohen, which was hilarious. He talked about the hat.
That was amazing.
One of my favorite pieces of viral content of 2019. And that's a weird thing that I said because I don't know what my top five would be. But yeah, I believe if I have said Tariq Cohen, that's incorrect.
Okay.
It's Tariq Cohen.
All right.
But I'm wondering, like, for the correct pronunciation for David Cohen, who just got bar mitzvahed, is it Cohen or is it Cohen? I think if he was in Israel, it'd be Cohen. Am I wrong?
If it was spelled C-O-N-E, it would be Cohen. If it's C-O-H-E-N, it would be Cohen.
I'm not crazy here, right? Listeners text in. The Jewish guys we have hosted this station say Cohen, and all the Catholics say Cohen. I think it's true.
No one texted that.
No, he's asking people to text in to back up.
Guys on the Twitch stream.
Sounds like a Murph topic.
It's the same guys there every day. You Twitch stream people. Tell me that the Jewish guys here say Cohn and the Catholics say Cohen.
Parco, do you want me to sing in a Don Olam out of nowhere? I don't think you want that, do you?
I mean, why are you asking permission, man? If you want to sing, sing.
I mean, I feel like our Judaism is on the line right now, and you, of course, are like...
I don't care.
I know. You're like, I never go to temple. I kind of am, but really not. Don't care if Owen ever knows anything about a Friday night Shabbat.
That's not true.
That last
part's not true. He won't be raised anything, I don't think, but other than to be an upstanding member of society. But I believe in teaching him about the Jewish culture. Like we had Shabbat dinners and bar mitzvah and confirmation and all that. I'll teach him about the Holocaust and being a cultural minority and all of those things. So yeah, that's why I say I identify as Jewish, but I'm not religious because organized religion and I, we don't see eye to eye on a few things.
That's fair. I'm just wondering, is Owen having the bar mitzvah or not? Yes or no? No.
Probably not. No.
Is that a financial thing or just
No, are you kidding? It would probably be lucrative. It probably hurts us to not have the bar mitzvah.
What a great angle.
Yeah. It probably hurts us to not do it. No, I don't think he's having a bar mitzvah. I don't think I also can make those decisions unilaterally. Though my wife, who is not Jewish, is like, maybe we should raise him Jewish. Like, she has no interest in raising him Catholic. It's like zero. It's either no religion or Jewish. She's like, I got to know it. Why did you do this, Shane? Why did you do this to our show?
You know what? It's been in my head for a long time. I turned to Campy. I asked him the same question. He said, you know what? You're right. So then I have to ask you guys about Judaism. Carmen about Judaism. Danny is about Judaism.
Perfect. Thank you.
Adon Olam was too Jewish. I should have stuck with Hava Nagila. I went too far down the road there. Just to, you know, stay on.
You did.
I did.
Can you mass appeal the humor, please?
that was a bad job. But, you know,
a conservative Judaism joke. I was looking for a reform Judaism joke.
It was. It very much was.
Thank you.
University of Iowa, you know, first year, drunk moment or two. My one friend from Israel who was visiting, we had a great Adon Olam in the elevator. We'll always remember it, Parco. Go Hawkeyes.
From the 630, I listen daily, never heard anyone pronounce his name Cohn. You're wrong. Okay, well, here's this thing, 630. I work here daily, and I'm not wrong. I hear every show. There are
people
plenty
are saying
that
it's
say
home.
Those are actually two separate statements. He works here, and he's not wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. Hub is the one who says that, or people are texting that Hub says Tariq Cohn, C-O-N-E. I'm not sure. But
no, Hub definitely says Cohn.
Okay. Well,
I think Bernstein does too.
Dude, I don't know. And if Tanny was here, he probably would have every single person who's already ever pronounced the name, and we would just have a litmus test going.
Maybe. But Tanny did text me about 30 seconds ago, Jesus. And I don't know if that's him just like talking religion or if he's reacting to the segment.
His comedic timing never been better. It's the Danny Parker Show on the Score.
What is the best way to defend from a Jew?
God, I'm so excited to watch Borat 2. I'm probably not going to be able to do it tonight, so that's going to be tomorrow night. When will you watch it, Carm?
I'm probably on a... I could maybe hit it tonight. We've got the big Dan Dorfman turns 50 birthday dinner tonight, Parco. Mark Grody leading the charge on this one. So
oh, wow.
This is a big night in the city, really. Not just for Dan. I mean, all of Chicago on some level is celebrating. I believe he wrote something about you once, did he not?
I believe if we're talking about the same person, I believe he did.
There is no confusion on this person.
He writes for the publications up in the Northern Burbs.
Yeah, he's
correct?
Part of the Tribune family and Pioneer Press.
Yeah. He gave me some press once upon a time. So I'm a fan, obviously. So happy birthday. And it's been a while. So if he wants to do a follow up story, I'm available for comment. Something there. But I will watch it tomorrow night. So text me once you've seen it. I want to compare notes.
How? Can I get a duration on this thing? Do you have any idea what we're dealing with here? Is this like a three?
It's a movie length time. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
So 90 minutes, 2 hours. You'll have to block out the amount of time you would take to watch a movie.
I can figure this out on my own. That was a poor question. But my
okay, good.
I
1 hour 36 minutes.
Wow. Okay. I know nothing. I don't know how the Giuliani thing went down. I've purposely not.
I'm trying to avoid spoiler alerts, too. I mean, I know about the Giuliani thing, but I'm trying to avoid spoiler alerts also. I haven't felt this way about a movie because I didn't see Tenet. I didn't go to the theater to see it. I'm very excited to see the new Christopher Nolan movie, but didn't make it out to a theater. It's just been a while. They delayed some movies. Right, I was very excited about the new Top Gun with Cruise, the Maverick movie, but they haven't released that yet because of these uncertain times. So yeah, I'm very excited. And when do comedies like really look hilarious anymore? Like from the trailer, like sometimes they are and they surprise you, but I don't feel like I get very excited for comedies on the front end. But on this one, I'm going in with a very, very high set of expectations.
It's also free if you have Prime. I just found that out this morning. They're not charging like an extra 15, 20 bucks. If you have Amazon Prime, it's 100% free.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's
Saturday night, baby. I'm ready.
I have low expectations. Like, how could he possibly pull this off again? It's going to feel forced, but it's him, so.
But whatever. I mean, you're not going to regret your time spent with the movie.
Clearly not.
Right. Even if it's forced, even if it's staged, even if it's too vulgar, like it's. Come on.
I mean, I watch the Arizona bar scene 3 times a week, and I don't even feel like I can say the name of the title on the radio. It just feels so
good.
Wrong.
Then don't.
Right.
Then don't.
But I watch it 3 times a week, and it makes my day.
that's a little bit above average, but I respect your commitment to the bit. It's just, it's like, am I going to watch the new Sacha Baron Cohen movie or Big Ten football? It's just, it's real hard for me to make a determination there.
Hold on a second. I'm very excited for Northwestern and Maryland tomorrow night. A little Peyton Ramsey, a little Fitz going for win number 100. It's a big day for the Wildcats, Parco.
Yeah, go Cats. Cool.
See, I don't know. You grew up, what, 13 minutes from Ryan Field?
Yeah, about.
But you never, like, it was right there. Tickets were always available.
I went.
But you never fell into it.
No. What was there to fall into?
The underdog of all underdogs at that point.
Empty seats.
Come on now.
Wow. That's really impressive. They almost covered the spread against Wisconsin. That's really impressive. There are more fans of a road team here than what? I never fell for Northwestern football? No, I didn't.
How old were you in 95?
9 years old.
You were 9 years old when the Purple went to Pasadena, when Gary Barnett was
lit. Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson lit him up. That was kind of fun.
So you were one of those people. Like, who were you? Who was your Big Ten team at that point?
I didn't have one.
Who was your college football team at that point? Who was
I would go to like a Notre Dame game a year with my dad.
See, you were a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
Right.
I didn't know we were getting WGN Carm for these 3 days. Oh, I thought he was going to be able to separate.
Now they're just one radio station, Shane. This is Chicago's Big Ten team.
Herb in the other room has to be furious right now.
What?
God.
let's talk about Denny Green back in the day, breaking the 0 for 26 streak. Young Carm running around Dyke Stadium having the time of his life.
Yeah, we don't have time to talk about
that. We don't have time for that.
Yeah, nobody's interested in that. Shane put out an idea today that I do think we can speak to here as a show. 312-644-6767. What day did you say this was of quarantine, Shane, approximately?
Month 294, but in all seriousness, it's got to be maybe 180, 190 for you guys, right?
Yeah, I haven't done a show at the Score since the second week of March. So it's been a while. Carm is newly married. Shep and I are new parents. Shane's got a new relationship. 312-644-6767. Your partner, your kid, your roommate. What have you learned about whoever you're living with during quarantine that you didn't know ahead of quarantine? It could be good. More likely, it's going to be bad. What have you learned about the people you're living with during quarantine? Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent? We're sharing stories next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.